You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings Podcast.
Hey, y'all, and I'm JJ.
And I'm Kat.
Guys, on this episode, we have Becky from TikTok. She creates videos and goes to haunted locations and records them and does some investigating. She even spent the night in the Conjuring House, so we can't wait to ask her about that. Becky, would you like to introduce yourself to our audience?
Hi, I'm Becky, My Bloody Galentine on TikTok.
Awesome. Well, Becky, okay, I'm just going to jump right in, and then we can kind of rewind and get to how we got here. But I've been dying to ask you, what was it like to stay in the Conjuring House?
So when I got to the Conjuring House, it didn't set in. I was like, I stayed Airbnbs all the time. And when I finally got there, I was like, wait a minute. Like, what did I do? I made a horrible mistake. Like, I just realized that this is not an Airbnb. This is not a hotel. And I'm about to stay in one of the most haunted places. So that was the first thing. I walked in, I felt this overwhelming feeling of, I've been here before. Like, I felt like I've been here, I've seen these places, and I don't know why, but I just felt like I'd been there. And initially I was like, I don't feel anything or whatever, but it was really interesting. The whole house is historic. I definitely had periods where I go in certain places and just immediately feel dizzy or lightheaded, but it's like unforgettable. The whole place was absolutely incredible.
Where is this house?
So it's in a place called Burlville, Rhode Island. They actually call it the house on Round Top Road, or the farm on Round Top Road. So you can find it by going to that website instead of the Conjuring House.
And for our audience that may not be as familiar with the Conjuring House.
Or just for Kat.
Yeah, or just for Kat. But yeah, if you could you kind of give us a little history overview of the Conjuring House?
So the Conjuring House, the home itself was built in the 1730s. The family that experienced the most paranormal activity moved in from 1971 to 1980. It was a couple and their five daughters. The movie depicts only two daughters, I believe, and there's actually five daughters that stayed in the house. Throughout that time period, they experienced multiple hauntings. They did contact the Warrens. That did happen. The Warrens came to the house multiple times. The daughters experienced some pretty brutal paranormal activity. I don't know how much in depth is public or anything, but they experienced possessions, active throwing, poltergeist activity. And then they finally moved out in 1980. The daughters ended up writing books on it. They did agree, like when the movie came out, yes, this happened. Lorraine Warren, when she finally spoke about it, she said, to this day, I'm still afraid of that house. The movie talked about a witch that may have haunted it, but there was no actual proof that that witch, Bathsheba, was haunting the place. So it's kind of just a known haunted location with multiple accounts of that. The current owners do still believe that it's haunted.
And so did you rent this on Airbnb?
So it is not available on Airbnb, but it's kind of like a similar setup. It is not a hotel. It's not an Airbnb. The people want to make sure that people understand that what you're getting into, you have to sign a waiver. You waive away the, like, if you get possessed or if something happens or you fall down the like rugs or the 1800s like steps that are like wooden and crickety, You have to waive that away. So you sign a pretty extensive waiver before you go there. They want that to be made very clear to people. You go to theconjuringhouse.com. It'll say book a room. There are no rooms available on weekends until after December because it's really starting to blow up when people found out, oh my gosh, I can actually stay there. So yeah, I rented that for the night using their website. I was like 2 days behind. Like I immediately got in.
Did you go there specifically to vlog about it or...
Is this your typical vacation for you?
So it's a pandemic. There's nothing else to do. So I'm doing a lot more things like that that would normally have been a vacation. But now it's like, I can't see people. So I might as well hang out at these like weird locations because there's not going to be anyone there or like ghosts don't have COVID. So typically I am always looking for like some sort of haunt or spooky place to check out.
What got you so interested in finding these places? Do you have like a, you know, kind of a past history with the supernatural?
The places didn't really start becoming like a super, like I always was going to do that. Like I never was looking for the typical vacation. Like my family was, we went to the Outer Banks and had the most like average family vacations. And I think like one time I was 19 years old and I was like, let's go ghost hunting. It was close to Halloween. I didn't know what I was doing. And I was like, let's go ghost hunting and see what happens. And then after that experience, I just became hooked. I'm like, I always want to look for something weird. And when the local spots and the local legends got boring, I started to want to find out more about like other local legends. Like I like the famous places, but it's also cool to go visit the ones that are kind of less known.
Becky, you've had all these experiences going to all these places, but have you had any paranormal experiences in your life, like when you were younger or anything like that?
My first experience was the one that I was just talking about. And this is the one that like still gets me to this day. I made a joke about ghost hunting. All we had were like, we're taking a camera, a flashlight, and that's it. And go to this graveyard up the road. I didn't realize at the time graveyards aren't typically haunted locations because the person died before they were there. They weren't attached to their body. So when they're buried at that place, why would they haunt it? They would haunt the home or the place of like some sort of significant tragedy or emotional attachment. So I went there with my brother and my boyfriend at the time, and we had no equipment. We were just like kids, and we were there for probably 15 minutes. And then we started saying, you know what? Like, there's nothing here. We're really frustrated. This is dumb. Ghosts don't exist. Like, what are we doing? We turned off all our equipment. And that's when something like a blue ball of light went from one tree to another tree, and it was not shining on a surface. So if it were a flashlight or like some sort of like deer headlight, it would have been sitting on the leaves, if that makes sense, and the light would have been diffusing. But instead it was like its own entity. So it went from one tree to the other, and then it stopped. And I said, guys, I just saw something. And they're like, shut up, Becky, like that's ridiculous. The orb or whatever it what have you, it was like almost like a ball of lightning, but the, you know, ball lightning isn't really a thing. So it came in between my boyfriend at the time and I, after they said it's not there. And both he and I jumped in opposite directions, and it came down, it like floated so gracefully, and it like was gliding between us, and we jumped in opposite directions. And that's when I was like, he saw it too. He wouldn't have jumped if there was nothing. Like, this is not my imagination. We saw that. So we started like losing our minds. We called our parents, and they came to pick us up because we'd walk there. And I was like, I don't know what that was. And then afterwards, that's when I was hooked. I started like looking at every blog. Like, I could not have enough information on paranormal. I was in college. I was totally like staying up until 4 o'clock in the morning with my best friend at the time. And we were like, anywhere we can go, Google, like haunted places, Pennsylvania, where are they at?
So I kind of got excited at the beginning and jumped the gun and forgot to ask you something that we do try to ask all our guests. And I guess we probably know the answer after that story, but on like a scale 0 to 10, 0 meaning you don't believe in ghosts, 10 ghosts are absolutely real. Where do you kind of fall on that scale?
I'd say I'm like at a 9 or a 10, because here's why. Things happen. I've seen them, but I studied science. I went to school for biology. I actually work at a funeral home. So I have a lot of a science background. So my mind is constantly trying to rationalize these things. So the way you're your own worst enemy, I'm sitting there like, what could that have been? That was ball lightning. Like, no, it wasn't. Like, it was obviously something, but I'll play things over in my head over and over again, trying to rationalize it because I don't want to give myself credit for experiencing a haunt too soon. Like, I want to be thorough. I want to have like as much evidence as possible. So yes, I definitely believe I'm higher on the scale, but I doubt myself a lot, which is why my TikTok videos, I don't want to influence people. I don't want them to feel like they're definitely going to experience something or they're not, because everyone feels differently about things. They might see the same thing that I did and feel that it's not paranormal. So I think it's more fair to just send people and say the lore and let them decide.
Yeah, I like that you're still open to the fact that, you know, what you're experiencing might have a different explanation. Maybe it's not ghosts. And, you know, I'll just say for me, I'm on like a 5 on that scale. I'm kind of still on the fence. I used to be a 1, but after hearing all these stories, I'm like up to a 5 now. And so many of our guests have told me, because I've told them I really want to experience that and see a ghost because I want to believe that it's real. I've just never seen it myself. And so many people have told me, well, you just have to be open to it. You know, you have to be like willing to let it in. But it sounds like you and your boyfriend at the time were pretty much like, nah, this ain't real. It's not going to happen. And then it happened. So I don't know. Do you have an opinion on that?
I just think that, like, I don't know. I see too much out there of people who are automatically like, yes, this is absolutely this is definitive proof. There's no interpretation allowed. I am the authority on this subject. So that's how I feel. I think that at that time we both were like, it's not going to happen. We were doubting. That's our 1 on the scale, like where you were at. And then after that, I'd say I was still like a 5. I was like, I need more evidence. I need more. And like, I'm starting to realize that without like a personal connection or without like a total open mind, you're not going to see or feel as much as you do. Or would. And then there's another experience I had a few years later that I want to share, because I think it's another example of something that definitely was something, but we never really figured it out or had like, again, definitive proof of what happened. Fast forward, I did not experience anything crazy, like subtle nuances, going to places and like recording stuff and like being hyper tuned to audio, which is something that I think is a little controversial because, you know, as someone who, like, my current partner does a lot of studio recordings. So whenever he listens to music or whatever, I know that you could pick up stuff anywhere that is nothing, but it was a breath, but it sounded like words when you're using like hypersensitive equipment. So yes, there's definitely that kind of equipment stuff, but I like to, like I said, feel things viscerally and organically and decide from there. I do use equipment sometimes, but not like that. So in this experience specifically, I was living in Indiana, Pennsylvania. I had an apartment in we had some friends over for the night, and I was always freaked out about this place. It was built in the 1800s. I never thought it was haunted. It had a weird basement with a hole in it, but that's a whole different story. There was like literally a hole in the wall that something could have crawled in. So maybe that was it. But I always felt like weird about the drop ceiling too, because there was like a six to eight inch gap between the ceiling and the drop ceiling. So I always felt like something could get in there too, but nothing ever happened. This one night, we had friends over. They had left. All the doors were locked. I had a roommate in the room over, and I was sleeping. All of a sudden, like, I was woken up, like, pretty abruptly by the door slamming open, and I heard just that, and I opened my eyes, and I could see, like, the white of someone's eyes at the door, which automatically, like, intruder, like, this has to be an intruder of some sort. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, I'm going to die. Like, this is me going to die. There's someone in my bedroom, and they slammed open the door like aggressively. They're like, this is a threat, but I couldn't move. So I was like trying to wake up my boyfriend, and I was like, please wake up. But I couldn't move. So I had to be like, wake up, like speaking through my teeth. I could not get up. I could not do the typical like reaction of there's someone in my house and I need to get them out. So I was like trapped on the bed. And then they finally closed the door. There was a strong like odor, like the worst odor I've ever smelled in my entire life. It was like a combination of like vomit and like I don't know, like, I don't want to say anything crass, but just like the worst foul. Like, I've smelled decomposed bodies working in a funeral home. It is worse than that. I will never forget it. And they backed out of the door and I heard my roommate's door open. So I was like, oh, he was just in our room and he might have been having a problem. Like, maybe he was sick and I was smelling something like that. And I finally felt relieved and like my muscles could move. And I checked my phone. It said 3:55 in the morning. So that was the end of that. I couldn't sleep. I just laid like this with my eyes wide open all night. And then I woke up the next day and I said, hey, why was our roommate at the time in the room? And my boyfriend was like, he wasn't. What are you talking about? I'm like, I tried to wake you up. He came in our room, but I thought maybe he had to use the bathroom or something, but he didn't. And then he left. He's like, you're crazy. Just go to work. And I went to work and I got a text that said, hey, what's up? And I was like, nothing, just working, normal day, you know, never mind the person that was in our room last night. And he texted me and said, no, we need to figure out what was in the house last night. So I got home, I left work, I got home and I was talking to my roommate and I was like, he had the same experience as me. The figure went into his room, touched his leg and then backed out. He said the figure backed backwards down the steps and then the doors were never locked. They were never unlocked or anything. Back down the steps and then just was gone. The doors weren't opened. They didn't close and shut. Like whatever this was in our house. So he said he continued to look through the house. He even went to the basement. He looked at the hole in the basement, like the creepy little hole, and could not find evidence of this person. Nothing was stolen. Nothing was broken. Neither of us could remember like a face or anything. We just saw the whites of someone's eyes and a completely dark figure. After that, I was like, wait, what time was it? And at the same time in unison, we were like 3:55 in the morning. And like, at first I was like, had to be a break-in, but then we're like, but the doors were locked. Like nobody came in and out. And then I started getting really nervous sleeping in my home. Nothing ever happened after that, but it was still like, okay, the more I think about it with the smell, the time of day, the fact that the doors didn't open and close and the fact that they were locked and the way that he moved was just so like slight. I just can't believe it's anything else.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's really creepy.
Like a ghost zombie or something.
Oh, I don't even know, but like they always say that like demons have a smell. So that's like a situation where I'm like, that might not have been a ghost. I don't know what that was.
Had you experienced sleep paralysis before that?
No, I never experienced sleep paralysis before that. I knew what it was. It freaked me out. The concept freaked me out. After that, I did have one other time that it happened to me at that same place. It hasn't happened since, and I've had two other apartments. But there was a time, like within a few weeks of that event, that I had a really weird sleep paralysis. But it's weird because I'm conscious when it happens, where I'm like, I know what's going on. But at that point, the second time, I just knew that I can get someone to wake me up if I breathe really heavily. So I was like, you know, breathing as loud as I could. And they woke me up and said, what's going on? I was like, I had sleep paralysis and I was face down in the couch. Like, it was just weird. So that I always like thought maybe it's good that I didn't like jump up and try to touch whatever that was. But I still to this day, I'm like, why couldn't I? Why couldn't I get up and protect myself? So I don't know.
That's so scary. Now it makes me think that sleep paralysis is like someone putting you in a trance. I had it the other day and I remember as I was falling asleep into it, I was like, if you could just yell and tell someone that you think you're in sleep paralysis so that they can listen out for you. But I was too late. I couldn't talk or anything and too far away to breathe heavily. Oh, that's so scary.
Well, yeah. And you know, at the beginning of that story, Becky, that's my mind went to, oh, this is, you know, just some kind of sleep paralysis thing. But then you brought in the roommate. And you guys both knew the time. So it's like, how could it be just a sleep paralysis incident if, I mean, it's just not possible for you both. So it must, I mean, you know, if I was going to leap into being 100% believer, I would just say, well, yeah, it's obviously something paranormal that took place.
Right, exactly. When we said that in unison, I was like, this is so weird. And the other thing is, I thought like, okay, say it was a break-in and we just weren't conscious enough to hear the door open and close. But that's something that we totally were like, we would hear that door. But it wasn't like 2 a.m. and the bar let out, you know, it was 3:55. Like they do say that like activity occurs between then. I don't think there's anything that doubts it in any way, like, or rationalizes it. We weren't living in a big city either. It's not like, you know, people are just wandering around. It's Indiana, Pennsylvania, birthplace of Jimmy Stewart, and that's it.
And there's no way that like your boyfriend or partner at the time would have like tried to trick you by texting your roommate or anything to be like, say it was 3:55 and freak her out.
Oh, absolutely not. Because he didn't even believe it. And he didn't, like, after we both said that, my roommate was just like, oh, geez. And like, we always joked afterwards, which is awful. But I'd be like, the demon came inside and touched you. Like, and he would be like, stop. Like, seriously, it freaks me out. Like, he didn't even like talking about it. So I definitely don't think they would have tried to do that. If anything, if it wasn't what they thought it was in 3:55 or whatever, they would have been like, we need to call the police. But because of the way that it was and how sketchy the story is, it's like, there's no way that anything else could have happened. It was just bizarre. And again, the odor is, like I said, it just filled the room. It was so disgusting, like mothballs or
And your roommate smelled the same thing?
Oh yeah. So what he said was it smelled like vomit. So he was the one that like first brought in the vomit idea. I was like saying it was much worse. And I was like, I don't know what that was, but he said, oh, maybe it was vomit. So then when we both smelled it, and the way that we were like kind of asking each other questions, we weren't like picking each other's brains and trying to come up with ideas. Like it was, we were mirroring each other's experience. And he said like, just the way came in the room, he smelled it, and then it touched his leg. And then like, we laughed because he's like such a, one of those people that hates being touched. And like, it's just like, of course that would happen to him. Of course it would come in and touch his leg. And then he gets up and it's like, whoa, whoa. And then it starts backing down the steps. And he was like, it wasn't backing. I didn't see this part. So I don't know. I didn't hear the commotion. I didn't hear the footprints. I just know that he said it was just kind of like arms out, like gliding backwards down the steps. And that was, I don't even like to think about it, because if I think about it too late at night, I'm like, there was that time that something came in my house. Yeah. So,
you know, you've had lots of adventures that you've posted on TikTok. We mentioned the Conjuring House. In any of these houses or places you've investigated, have you ever had moments where you didn't feel safe?
I've never had an encounter where I didn't feel safe. I know people insist that they've encountered malevolent spirits and just like things that are not, you know, happy with their presence or whatever. But I've never had any times where I'm like, I'm afraid of this, or else I probably wouldn't be doing it all the time. I know some people like that rush, and some people that are super professional investigators. Like, I love Halloween. I love getting like a good spook, but I'm not like versed in like exorcisms or things that, like, I'm an average person. And like I said, I like to feel things naturally. If I felt unsafe, I wouldn't be doing it. But at this time, like, yeah, some things will happen. It's like, what was that? Like, what did I just hear? The wind whirling up in my ear inside the house or something like that. It's never been unfriendly.
And of all the places you've been to, I mean, how often do you experience something that seems supernatural?
Personally, for me, it's pretty few and far between. I'm a huge skeptic. I write things off every time. If something happens to me, I'll be the first to say, you know, even in the Conjuring House, I'm like, the doors are opening and closing. Like I said to Brandon, I'm like, okay, so the door opened on its own. Like it definitely, I saw it, it opened, it went on its own. And I'm like, it's an old house. That's it. So I write most things off. There's always going to be some ambiguity everywhere I go that I could play up to be paranormal, but I don't believe in doing that.
This episode of the Real Hauntings, Real Ghost Stories podcast is brought to you by Wild Grain. Hey, y'all, it's Noah Daniels, and oh boy, I just got my box of Wild Grain bread and pasta. My whole family has been so excited to dive in. We started with a sourdough, and it was amazing. If you're looking to make Mother's Day brunch planning easier or just looking for a great gift for your mom, you've got to check out Wild Grain. Order before May 6th to get your box in time for Mother's Day. Wild Grain is the first ever bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries. Every item bakes frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. The next thing up for us to try is the biscuits with our breakfast. And you can now fully customize your Wild Grain box, so you can choose any combination of breads, pastas, and pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. Plus, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings to start your subscription. You heard me. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings. That's wildgrain.com/hauntings, or you can use promo code hauntings at checkout.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Yes. And you said, you mentioned you don't use a lot of equipment, but that there is some equipment that you use. Could you kind of talk to us about like what is it that the equipment does, and how do you determine whether a piece of equipment is, you know, legitimately showing you what it's advertised to show you?
Okay, so there's a lot of equipment out there that is battery operated or like hooks up to a computer. It's really cool. It's really advanced. It's awesome. I really respect the people who can harness that and use it to make contact. For me personally, I use a talking board. I use a pendulum. Old school dowsing rods is something that I would use, but I've never used anything that requires, like I said, like batteries or connections, just because as someone that I did years as a professional photographer for both a newspaper and a venue. So for me, using cameras, I know how to set the camera. So there's never going to be like those spirit photos that some people have, having a slow shutter or something like that. So I'll take pictures, but I don't see as much as someone with like, you know, using a point and shoot where you do get the dust orbs and stuff that can be construed certain ways. So as far as the talking board goes, I use a very basic talking board. A lot of times I try to use it and nothing happens. I don't use a Ouija brand board. I use one that's artist made. I showed it in my most recent video. I think it's cute. A lot of people think you have to have like this fancy spirit board or talking board to like, I don't know, for some reason look scary. And instead I'm like, well, I feel personally drawn to this, so I'm going to use it. So I use that pretty often. A lot of times I don't experience things with it. At the Conjuring House, it immediately worked. And I, my partner and I will be like, I don't trust you. Like, you moved it. But that was one time where it immediately was moving. And the other thing I use is just a birchwood. It's a pendulum and a board that you can use, and you swing the pendulum and it just gives you vague, like, yes, no answers. Mm-hmm. A lot of people using those, they're using them outside. You can't really use it outside or a place where there's a draft because it's going to move. But when it's actually working, you should be seeing like immediate, distinct swings, not like subtle swings that could be, you know, looked at either way. So those are the things that I use.
You use the conjuring board or the talking board in the Conjuring House?
Yes. I probably shouldn't have. I know a lot of people would frown upon that in a place that has had like possessions. For me, that's not something that frightens me. I think a lot of the superstition with both Ouija brand and talking and spirit boards are all born from movies like Poltergeist. When that came out, that's when people started being like, oh my gosh, like Ouija boards, do not use them. They're totally haunted. But after that, I follow the basic rules. I'm not sure how much I need to be following those rules, but I do follow that. Yeah, you always say goodbye. Don't use it while you're drunk or high. And definitely don't use it alone, just because that's, people have been saying it for years. So I follow that. So we did use it immediately. Like, it glows in the dark, which is really cool. So you can use it in the dark. And I think it makes it a lot easier to use without feeling like you know people are doing something or whatever. So when it's moving in the dark, obviously you're not staring at where you're going with it. So I think that it moves a little easier and naturally with the glow in the dark board, which sounds, I mean, some people would be like, oh, it's totally like just a toy or whatever. But when we used it, we sat there for probably 3 seconds and then it immediately moved to A. And here's why I know it was moving. When we went to look at whatever letter it was, both of us were like, what letter is that? So if we were moving it, we'd know where it was going, but it didn't spell anything distinct. It just spelled ATR. At the Conjuring House, the talking board spelled ATR. And then the last thing that I said before it cut out was that we don't know if that has significance or anything. We were unable to get any other messages through after that. So it was just like an immediate like ATR. And when we were looking at it, it would be like the both of us trying to determine like what the letters were. And if we like knew where it was going and what it was doing, then we would be like, oh yeah, like it's an A, but we didn't know. We were like sitting there trying to figure out what the letters were.
And what was the question that led to the ATR?
So we started by saying, hello, is anyone with us? Is anyone here? And then we said, is there anyone else who would like to speak to us? And then it just said ATR. And that was it. It didn't move again after that. We tried again after that and there was nothing. So it was just weird because like you put one light finger on it and we were just sitting there and nothing was happening. And then it was just like immediately zipping around. Like with such, it was bizarre.
Was that the weirdest thing you've encountered on these trips?
Yeah, so I'm new to New England. A lot of these places that I'm going, I'm seeing for the first time. And when I go, I'm not typically doing a ton of investigating. I'm checking out the place. Obviously all of them just kind of give you like a weird feel, but that was definitely the first thing that I've seen since I've started doing this.
And have you used a talking board a lot in the past?
Yeah, I use them pretty frequently. If you follow my account at all, you'll see that I have an extensive collection. Like, they range from like 1800s, like 1890, I think is the earliest one, to modern. I don't use any of the ones that are pre-owned because I've always been told and believe that it could have something attached or that someone could have used it previously that didn't have good intentions. Plus, generally, people do weird stuff like put blood on them. So I have this one. Yeah, no, people do weird stuff because they think that it'll help. So they'll like put blood on them or like, I don't know. I think it's weird. So yeah, I use them pretty often. Most of the time it doesn't work. Especially when we're just like at a random spot. But that was the first time it was like, whoa, this is like actually really working right now.
So what do you think, since you've, you know, had an experience, because I've never really, I don't think I've ever used a Ouija board or talking board. I know JJ has tried to use one once, and Kat,
I just confessed to drunkenly and highly using a Ouija board without saying the spirit.
Breaking so. all the rules.
Kat, have you ever used a Ouija
board? No, I've been terrified and told not to, but I don't know.
So Becky, what about seances? Have you ever been involved in a seance? Like, what are your feelings of that versus like using a Ouija board or something like of that nature?
I think that the people that do seances, first off, I'd have to know more people like myself. Like, I know some people do them alone or whatever, but you're not really supposed to do that. Plus, I don't think it's a great idea. I know a lot of people, like there was a really cool place from, I can't remember the name, but they were like doing a seance to like conjure Houdini and stuff like that. Like, I think it's really cool. I think you can do really powerful things. I did see some comments on my posts of people who did do seances in the Conjuring House. And I think that there's a lot of like power involved in that, that you're not capable of doing alone. I don't really know a lot of people like me in my immediate circle. So now that I'm like breaking out and making more friends that are into this stuff, hopefully will happen, but simply using a talking board, I think it kind of flirts on the line between like, do I trust my friend enough to believe that they're not doing it, or like, is this happening? I think the superstition, what I think is interesting is there's people that will are into like witchcraft, and then also people that are into ghost hunting, and there's like two sides of the coin where people believe they're, you know, they'll open you up to demonic possession, but then there's witches who use them literally like every day for, you know, their regular communication and like helping people do readings and making contacts. So I just think that it's usually like your mind setting you up to believe that there's something going on there.
Of all the places that you've traveled to, you know, with the goal of, you know, having a really spooky encounter, which ones did you go to where at the end of it, you were like, you know what, actually, this is a really great place for a vacation?
I think all of them, which is why I like sharing them. I don't think there's been a place where I'm like, I don't think anyone should go here. I actually do have a bunch of drafts from places that I didn't think were cool vacations. And a lot of people come to me asking me to plan their vacation, like the Conjuring House. If you're, you know, if you feel capable and that's something you're comfortable with, that's a really cool place to go. The Lizzie Borden House, really cool place to go on vacation. I think the alternative vacation idea is awesome. And even like the cemeteries, I used to think that that was just me. I would share photos of cemeteries before I was on TikTok and people would be like, who cares? And now everyone's like, tell me more weird cemeteries.
Yeah, this sounds like a business idea to just be like a spooky travel agent.
Oh yeah, like the amount of people messaging me and I'm like, I just moved here in May. I don't know all the spots yet. I'm learning them myself. I might regret all this in a year. You know, I might get like possessed or haunted or, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. This is just something that I started doing in the pandemic. I can't make friends right now because everyone's so paranoid. Well, not paranoid. It's rightfully so. And I'm also working in a funeral home. So that makes it like dually hard to make friends because it's like, yeah, I work at a funeral home with dead bodies that, you know, might have COVID. So instead of making friends, I'm going out and seeing all these places. But Pennsylvania is haunted, but like in Pittsburgh and that region, there weren't places that were like, you know, 400, 300 years old that you could go to. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have been to Pittsburgh a couple times for a work conference, and we stayed at this hotel that is allegedly the most haunted hotel in Pittsburgh. Do you know what I'm talking about? Because I can't remember the name of it for the life of me.
I'm not sure which one, because I know that like there's ones like the Penn Hotel, like if it was one like that.
The
Penn Hotel is like super old, so I wouldn't doubt that it was haunted. Not every old place is haunted, but that's one with like a lot of unique history. Pittsburgh has a lot of weird things, like the original. You know, like how on American Horror Story there was like the lobster hand boy, like he was murdered in Pittsburgh, the real one.
That's a real story?
Yeah. There was a lot. Google it. There was like a lobster hand boy, and he was killed in Pittsburgh. Totally true story. He was actually, I guess, like a huge creep, but it's still kind of interesting. So when people say like Pennsylvania or Pittsburgh isn't haunted, just because it's not necessarily connected to like the colonial parts that, you know, New England has, it's right. Like, no, that place is super weird. There's a lot of weird things that we had happen there.
Okay, we just Googled a picture of the lobster hand boy, and that's like super giving me flashbacks to watching the Batman movie with Danny DeVito as the slipper hands.
It's a real person, and you're allowed to laugh a little bit because he was a bad person. So
I was about to say, that's so mean.
No, so, yeah, he was not.
If he was a jackass, then for sure.
Yeah, you should read up on him. I was like pretty sad when I found out that he was like kind of like an abusive person. I was like, this is kind of weird. But anyway, that's enough about that. But you know, the cool history in Pittsburgh. We totally have weird spots.
So Becky, before we get you out of here, I did want to ask you. So you have tons of really cool videos. We've certainly enjoyed going through them. For our audience that is just now getting to know you and checking out your TikTok, what videos would you recommend that they check out first?
Oh, geez. Don't go by the view count, because some of my best videos are totally underrated. And some of the ones that went viral were just because people were fighting in the comments about whether or not places are haunted. And they think that like hurts me, but it actually makes my views go insane. Like, whatever. But my favorite video that I've shared is the Spider Gates video in Leicester. I just think that place is really beautiful. I think my most recent videos where I'm talking, because I started using just music, but now that I'm talking, it's a little more interactive and real for people. So I think those are like, Spider Gates is definitely my favorite. I think that some of the other ones are just like funny. I do a lot of funny videos where I'm joking around. Trying to think of other ones. Oh, Hex Hollow is like my most favorite thing in the world. Like nothing is my better in the world, I think, than that story, because it's real. And I go into a lot of lore. I like to share the lore behind places, but when you tell people that there was a 1928 witch battle that ended in murder and a house burning down, it's like, this is cool. So I definitely think those videos are the ones I would start with. They're most representative about what my account is about.
Well, if you do end up getting possessed, you have to promise us that you'll come back on our podcast and tell us all about it.
Oh, yeah. You can do a total case study on it. Experiment with someone getting possessed.
Yeah, definitely. I just wish I lived closer. I want to go on these adventures.
Yeah.
Well, now that everything's growing, hopefully I'll be coming closer to you guys and like all over, because people are like, can you do Wisconsin? I'm like, yeah, I guess I can do Wisconsin. I like, with a platform, you are enabled to travel a lot more. So I think that it's going to start becoming like a lot. The thing I hear the most is, I didn't even know this was beside me. Like, I didn't even know this was in my town. So I want to keep bringing weird and strange places, but it's growing outside of New England. People are asking for Maryland. People are asking for all these other states. And it's like, I think it's going to become a lot bigger.
Oh yeah. The South is super haunted. So feel free to hit up our area.
Okay. I guess my last question is there anything in the paranormal world, as far as like trying to contact them or trying to find out more, that you absolutely will not do?
I don't know. I don't think there's like anything I won't do. I know a lot of people, their no-no is Ouija boards. I'm pretty open to anything. I don't believe in using like blood magic or blood rituals or like hexing the fae and like all the stuff that's like really trending right now, or things like that, or anything done with malicious intent. That's another thing. Or just like I don't think spirits are toys. I don't think it's something that we should play with. If you think it's like fun to contact them, that's fine, but just always be respectful, right? Treat them the same way you want to be treated,
right?
Cool. Wow, what a positive note to end on. Well, Becky, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We certainly hope that you'll come back, and I can't wait for our fans to check out your TikTok and we get to hear all about it.
All right. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. This is my first podcast, so I hope it wasn't painful.
It is great. Yeah, thank you awesome. So much. Good Absolutely. Luck with everything.
You too. Take care.
Thanks, Becky. Thanks. Bye.
Bye, Becky.
Bye.
I'm going to play this Spider Gates one, which has like a million views. My goodness.
Oh, yeah, do that. That'd be great.
Gates is a Quaker cemetery in Massachusetts that some call the Eighth Gate to Hell. It is officially known as Friends Cemetery and dates to the 1700s. It is one of the most frequently visited spots in the state. There are variations of a legend that say if you pass through the main gate, your soul will go straight to hell and meet the devil. The truth is, there is an area of grass that does not grow on the property in the center. Some believe that that area falls under a tree where a young boy died by suicide on the ground, though I could not find a news source for this claim. For those looking to visit, there is no unapproved videography, paranormal investigations, or public photography permitted and is posted on a sign outside the grounds.
Wow.
Okay, I love the fact that this is a Quaker cemetery. Because I'm kind of Quaker adjacent, and I run in similar circles to a lot of Quakers. And I just think it's that, like, most Quakers are either like young hippie stoners or they're like old hippie stoners. And so the fact that there's like this old cemetery where I guess it's a friendly, nice, peace loving Quaker cemetery, but also a portal of hell, just blows my mind.
Also in the video, and listeners, you should go listen, or you should go watch it. It's pretty funny. Or it's just cool to watch. She goes, if you walk through this gate, you'll go directly to hell, and just walks through casually.
Yeah. And Kat, what is her TikTok? Let's skip that again for the listeners.
My Bloody Galentine. I like that.
Yeah, that's
cool. Know about like some the Quakers and like, no, I'm sorry, I'm like so on a Quaker.
JJ stuck on Quaker combos.
I got invited to go to a Quaker, not ceremony, I guess church. I don't know what the right word, but like a meeting. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get to do it. It sounded very interesting, JJ. The way she explained it to me is like you go and you just kind of sit and you meditate, and if people feel called to speak, they speak. If they don't, they don't. Like, kind of a chill environment.
Yeah, that's basically it. And the only other thing I want to say about Quakers is I just think it's really cool that, like, you know, it's an old Massachusetts cemetery that has this connection, because, you know, the Massachusetts, when it was first colonized, was colonized by like a bunch of uptight, no nonsense, no fun, religious Puritans who absolutely did not get along with the Quakers, who, you know, even back in the day were kind of hippie stoners. And so a lot of Quakers were accused of being witches and were burned at the stake.
Oh, wow.
By, you know, these Puritans who we, you know, celebrate at Thanksgiving, of course. You know, the pilgrims. But so I just wonder if like that kind of stigma of Quakers back in like Puritan New England maybe is why it has
carried
that,
over to that story.
Kind of, yeah, that, yeah, legendary status of being.
I will say, like, and this isn't just to like pump her TikTok or anything, but her TikTok is one of the few that because I follow it and I watch a couple of videos, when her stuff comes through, I usually will sit and watch the whole video, because it is like, I do feel like I'm learning a little bit, because like she said, she doesn't push an agenda like ghosts are here, this is real. Like, you get some information, you get some lore, you get some cool shots of the area. And a lot of times I'll then go and like start Googling these places and like, oh, what happened here? What is this place? You know, yeah. So it's pretty fun.
Apparently on my mother's grandmother's side, we came from England and we're big Quaker people.
Oh,
and then,
interesting.
Well, I guess on my dad's side, they moved up to the Midwest. But anyways, maybe a family buried there. Uh-huh. Also, one of the comments on her Spidergate TikTok says, I did shrooms there once, and it was the weirdest trip I've ever had. Not scary, but off-putting.
Man, people are just living a very different life than us, I feel like. Oh man, yeah, that was a fun one. The orb story was interesting. I haven't heard a ton of orb stories other than look at this orb in like a picture kind of thing. I've heard those, and Kat, you told one of those. Right? Yeah, the Harry Potter guy at the movie theater with the orb, right?
No, oh. I have an actual like fly past my face story.
Well, please share it. We have not heard that.
Well, and no one else saw it, but I was in Oregon at the time, and we had just like a bunch of my coworkers. Remember, Oregon is where I met Teresa the medium, and Oregon's where she like kept telling me about this woman named Maggie, or what's the long name for Maggie? Margaret. And I had just gotten done telling this whole story when we were all out to dinner or having beer or something. And in the parking lot, I remember hugging my friend Courtney, and I looked up because, you know, in Harry Potter, when Dumbledore like uses his thing to get the lights to come down from the lanterns, it literally looked like that. It looked like a light had just flown from the from like the light post and just gone down and then disappeared. Oh. And I remember being like, I don't think that was one of my weird eye flashes. I had never had those before. There were no like lights or cameras out there. And I even was like, guys, did you guys see that? I think I just saw an orb. And then I haven't seen anything like that ever again. But
when like you think about it now, do you still see it, or is it hard to remember?
Yeah, it's a little harder to remember, but I mean, it was kind of exactly how she described it. I mean, I remember it being a little bit, not as blue, just like a bright light. And then, but it came off of the light. It wasn't like a flashlight going somewhere.
How disappointing must that have been for you to think that you were about to see Dumbledore, but really it was just a spirit?
Yeah, it was. I mean, the light didn't go out, so like I knew it wasn't Dumbledore. So that comment's pretty stupid, actually. But yeah, I'm always disappointed that I don't see Dumbledore.
Oh my God.
But newsflash, spoiler alert. Well, I won't say it here. But we just can't see Dumbledore anymore.
Oh. R.I.P. So
we've already had one listener tell me that he will never listen to us again because of our spoilers. So we have to be careful.
Oh yeah, what was it that we spoiled? It was
something.
The Haunting of Hill House. We do apologize, listeners. So sorry. Yeah. I don't even remember it because I haven't seen it, but I don't want to take away from your pain.
But also, just watch it already. It's
good. Yeah, it's been like 2 years and the new one's about to come out. By the way, have y'all seen the
rule with spoilers? Like if it's been 6 months or a year, yeah. Maybe not 6 months, but maybe a year.
Some people like if it's been like 3 months. So, but anyway, have you guys seen the trailer for the new Haunting on Hill House?
No, there's a trailer out?
Oh yeah, it just dropped like last week. It looks so good. By the time this episode posts, it will have been 3-4 weeks since Amanda's episode posted. And during Amanda's episode, she stated she saw a ghost in your home. Uh-huh. Have you guys had any spooky things? In real time, this has only been about a week. So have you guys seen any spooky things since that happened?
No, I feel like we acknowledge her, you know, every now and then. We don't really specifically talk about it or like ask, you know, anything necessarily. We haven't seen anything.
Yeah, really, we haven't noticed anything unusual or anything suspicious. But, you know, even when Amanda saw that ghost, you know, we hadn't noticed anything up to that point. And even when she pointed out to us, you know, the only thing I felt was just like, I felt some chills on my shoulder. But that was when she said, you know, she's touching your shoulder. So that could all be in my head. But so maybe we just have a very quiet, introverted ghost.
So guys, question, would you be comfortable doing this? I feel like this would be really fun to film. if we sent a pendulum to your home, would you guys be willing to use it to ask your ghost questions and to see if you believe it or not, what happens?
Yeah, I would.
I think it'd be interesting. Just to, not even necessarily the results of it, just like what you guys, you know, where we can kind of get in the mind of somebody who's using one of those. And if you believe there's anything to it or not, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it would be cool to just see how they work, you know?
Awesome. Well, we're going to do that then.
We're going to say a lot of prayers beforehand.
Fun episode. It's been cool getting to know all these people that are so embedded in the ghost world and hear their stories.
Embedded.
We're going to be interviewing somebody tomorrow, that you guys can look forward to hearing from. Just a little teaser. She's been abducted by aliens. So
I'm
excited.
Super excited for that.
Wait, since, just because I still have the app, we're going to wrap this episode up again with me pulling up our
Necrophonic
app.
Ugh, that thing creeps me out.
JJ's favorite.
JJ,
and we're just gonna, before I click start on it, we're just gonna go for it. Is there an old woman spirit in here? We're gonna go for it, okay? Is there an old woman spirit in here?
I heard no
and X. So Are we safe in this room?
What?
On? One time we asked it, we were like, who's here? And someone was like, milk.
Yeah. Super scary.
What is my name?
I heard one.
I heard... Did you just snort, Noah?
You got a pandemic snort. Those are hard to find.
I snort when I'm tired or when I've been drinking too much.
Happiness makes me... I snort happiness.
Aww.
Struck out with Necrophonic. I have mixed feelings on that thing anyway.
Yeah, in my head, it's just another app that collects your data and like knows trigger words like here or...
However, if they want to sponsor our podcast... We'll
oh, for
be
sure.
Happy it works. To use it every Amazing. Episode.
I've but, already communicated with all of my dead relatives. It's a great app, for sure.
But until that sponsorship comes through, the real haunting scoop is it's some bullshit. Sponsor is now Necrophonic. I dare ya. See how quickly we will sell out for our audience.
Oh man. All right, guys. Well, we appreciate y'all listening. Hopefully you'll enjoy this episode. And I know we're also excited to hear about these alien abductions. Look forward to October. Hopefully we'll be able to bring you some extra spooky fun content like we always try to do with it being the most spooky time of the year. We hope you guys are staying safe and still finding some fun things to do. And yeah, let us know if there's anybody out there you want us to bring on. Maybe you don't have a story, but your mom has a story. Your uncle has a story. Some person you follow on Instagram has a story. Let us know. We're always looking for new people. And to all you awesome fans that have been sending us fan mail, wanting to come on the podcast, we will get you on. We've just been pretty booked up right now, but I promise we'll get you on. We definitely want to hear your stories. And yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. All Thank right. you from the bottom of our dead hearts.
Yeah.
Well, the bottom of JJ's dead heart. Well, this has been the Real Hauntings Podcast, and I'm Kat.
I'm JJ.
And I'm Noah.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.